Good morning. I'm really thankful to be a part of a church that, you know, allows our kids to do stuff like that. I know they're mine, but I hope you know that as a church family that it's important for us to be raising up these younger kids, because we're not always going to be around to do these things. And so even from this little age, it's important for us to show them that they have a place of value and a place of service in the body of Christ. So thank you, church, for encouraging that. So I am here today to share about Sheridan Parkside and what God's doing in Sheridan Parkside. So there's a picture up on the screen. Actually, it's going to flip through a few pictures. The very first picture on the screen, if you noticed, it was a picture of our church service from last Sunday. And we have been holding church services for about 2 years now, every Sunday afternoon. And we started with, you know, this little tiny group of people. If you go back, are we able to go back, Jerry, to? Okay, so this is inside the building, and I kind of took a panoramic shot because 2 weeks ago, we had over 30 people attending the church service at Sheridan Parkside, but that was including a group from Missouri who was here doing mission work. They had attended church here that Sunday morning. And so there were that many people in our church service 2 weeks ago. Last week, however, there were that many people just from the community. And so you can praise God with me. That's an amazing, amazing thing. Amen. What you may not be able to tell from up here, but probably a good half of the people there are kids. And that's unusual for us. We really focus on ministering to adults during the week, and so we don't always have a lot of kids that come around, but we've had a core group who have on and off come in, especially for dinner on Sundays, because they've told us perhaps they don't have a meal other than that on the weekends, and so they'll come in and eat dinner with us. But they showed up, they do show up for church sometimes, but only recently have they started like staying in the service with us and participating. And last week, there were so many new kids and other new community members who were there, so it just was a really cool thing to see how God is working. Probably a lot of that comes because we've had a couple of Bible clubs in the last few weeks where kids have been ministered to, the group from Missouri, and then Ben Hand and a group from Ridgewood Bible Church served back at the end of June. So anyway, that's a very, very exciting thing to be a part of. I also just wanted to share a little bit more about kind of what goes on at Sheridan Parkside. I feel like probably you hear from Eric a lot about Sheridan Parkside, not a lot from me. But I am the person who's in the building most of the time when we're open. And so, you know, we have laundry. We're open for people to come in and do their laundry. We also do cooking classes a couple of times a month. We did our first ever kids cooking class, which is some of what you're seeing in these pictures up here, back at the beginning of July. And we had three kids who were brand new to us. I had never met them before the cookout that was a couple of days before this to bring them in. And just in the course of conversation that we were having with them, two of the little girls communicated to us that the one little girl, we just kind of were asking about her parents, and the one little girl said, "Oh, my dad died," and was kind of sharing a story, and it turns out Eric had kind of known of her. But she just said it so nonchalantly, and the other little girl lives kind of in a foster situation with a grandparent, sort of foster, sort of not. But it's just so common, you know, the kids that we deal with don't live with their parents. They don't live necessarily with families there that are their own family members. Sometimes it's extended family, sometimes it's foster care, whatever it is. But it's just been a really great thing to have these kids come in. They know that we're a safe place for them to be. One of these, Jose, the little guy who's in this picture, one of these pictures told Eric recently, he was like, "Church people are just so different." And he was saying that in a good, in a positive way, not a strange way. He was saying it while he was standing next to the grill with Eric. And so they're able to see Jesus in us. They know that something makes us different. And so we know that it's Jesus shining his love through us. So that's been a really cool thing to say. I wanted to share just a few things that people say about us, and then talk to you about perhaps how you might choose to be involved. Originally, when God kind of gave us this ministry, part of the original vision that he gave to Eric was that Sheridan Parkside would be a place of ministry for people from this church body, from other churches as well, but for people from this body to have a place to serve, a place that's close by, a place that has opportunity to serve people who are in different circumstances than you and I are normally in. And so you're always invited to be a part of that. So some of the things that we hear or that we have heard recently on a regular basis, I mentioned to you, little Jose said, church people are different. I frequently hear people say, I'm just so at peace here. This place is just so peaceful when they're in our building, when they're there for different things. We hear a lot, this church, this place, this is my family. They don't have good support system. I have a new mom who started coming in a couple weeks ago. She said, I need this support. I need this help. I need this support. Someone else said, I don't know where I'd be without you guys. Thank you for not giving up on me. Thank you for not shaming me when I mess up. I'm just so drawn to the people in this place. And that last one was said to me a while back by a woman who proclaims to be an atheist herself. And so she doesn't even know, you know, the blinders are still on her eyes, but that's the Spirit of God that's drawing her to himself. She just doesn't see that yet. But she will, because we are there to faithfully serve and to proclaim the good news of the gospel in a way that doesn't bring shame into people's lives. It doesn't belittle them for where they are in their circumstances, because life is hard, right? Raise your hand if life is hard sometimes. It's just that sometimes my hard looks different from your hard, and it looks different from the hard that people experience in Sheridan Parkside, but God has given us a ministry there to help bring dignity and value and joy that only comes through Jesus. And so I invite you to be a part of that. I could ask for a raise of hand or people who are regular volunteers there. Dave is there a lot. Judy Lytle comes in on once a month. Michelle has come to cut hair. Wendy is there with us on a regular basis. Bella is there. John Stratif serves.
Karen Daniel
and Karen Roberts there as part of our church family and is Karen runs our Thursday ministry. There's a lot of people, and I apologize if I'm missing some. But there is a place of service there for you. When people ask me how they can be involved, one of the first questions I might ask is, how do you want to be involved? Because the beauty of this ministry has always been that it has had so little to do with what we thought this ministry would look like. We just had a conversation this past week about how every time we think, like, okay, we've got a handle on what God is doing here, then something drastic changes, and we're like, okay, time to recalibrate and think differently about what it is that God's presented before us. So you're always welcome. God's at work there. God's at work in our lives. If we just take a minute to look around and see and to join him in that, and you're always welcome to be a part. Cooking classes are there. There's just a lot of opportunities. You'll see the twins are in these pictures playing a board game with the kids who are just waiting for their mom to finish her laundry. So it takes so little. It just takes a genuine heart, a genuine desire to listen to people, to value them as individuals, to let them know that Jesus loves them and he offers them hope that nobody else can. So thank you.
So great to have all of you hear your singing. Hopefully you are being encouraged by seeing little kids singing, by seeing little kids dedicated, committed, parents committed to raise them to know Jesus, to come into that life of hope that you're all invited into if you're not there already. A life of joy. I don't want to go through a church service without sharing from the Word. I hope you all are in agreement with that. I would expect you are. We've been in John chapter 14 for a few weeks now. John 14 is one of those chapters that could easily have, I don't know, six or seven sermons in it. And we've had, I think, three already. But today, I want to stand back from it, the 50,000-foot view of it, remind us of where we've been, take a peek at where we're headed, and land on this one verse in the middle of John chapter 14. And so we'll get there in just a minute. But if you have your Bible with you, or if you don't, the Pew Bible is the exact same version, the same translation that I'll be using. And so I invite you to turn to John 14, which is on page 916, if you need some help finding where that is. So John 14 We've been talking, we always talk context. You can't take this one verse that I'm about to talk about. If you just take it out of context, it sounds like Jesus might be whining, or it sounds like there's a promise of just how we're going to be regardless, and these things are all tied into the context that we're in the midst of. We've seen from the Gospel of John, we've seen Jesus' ministry where he's called disciples and he's walked on water and he's changed water into wine and all of those things that we've talked about up until this point. We are now in Jerusalem the night before Jesus is going to be crucified. In John 13, he washes their feet and then he tells them that someone's going to betray him and somebody else is going to deny him. And they all say, oh, no, not me. But he says, you're just not ready yet. I need you to stay. I want you to love one another. Don't be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled. This is the beginning of 14. Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. And so we've seen him come to this point. And all through John, in chapter 6 and chapter 3 and all over the place, John, the writer of the gospel, is telling us Jesus' point is that we need to believe. We don't just go do, well, I'm going to be good. It doesn't work that way. We have to believe. We have to know that it is because of who Jesus is that we are able to live in such and such a way, that we are able to have relationship with the Creator God. And so the beginning of 14, he says, your heart must not be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. And then later in that passage, verses 1 through 6, he says, you know the way where I'm going. And they say, how could we know the way? He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus, in these first 6 verses, has said, believe, and I am the way to the Father. In the next few verses, 7 through 13, he again talks about the fact that he is in the Father. Verse 10, don't you believe, same word, that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? In this first part of John chapter 14, he's been with the people for a long time, and they say, well, show us the Father. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you know me, then you know the Father. Jesus is God. And he's bringing it home. It's the night before he's going to be crucified. The disciples are still perhaps a little confused about what's going on. They still think maybe his messiahship will be a political one where he throws the Romans off. And he said, no, believe in me. I'm from the Father. I am one with the Father. Your part is to believe. And then he goes on and he says, you've seen all these great works that I've done. I've been healing people. I've been raising the dead. I've been changing water into wine, walking on water, multiplying loaves and fishes. All of these things I've done, and you will do even greater works than these. What? The one who believes in me, verse 12. The one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and he will do even greater works than these. How is that possible? Because the verse continues. He will do even greater works than these because I am going to the Father. I am God. I'm going back to be with God. God's plan is going to be worked out. You are my ambassadors. He doesn't say that right here, but it comes up later in Scripture that we are sent out to represent him, to share that love, that compassion, that empathy, that truth. And it's because he has gone back to be with the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. We talked about this just last week. It's not just say, if you tag on in Jesus' name at the end of your prayers, it's got to happen. That's what it says. That's what I'm talking about when I say we take things out of context. What it means is if we're aligned with God, if we're doing God's work, if we see where God's at work and join him in it, if we ask God what he'd have us do and then do that, then when we pray, we'll be praying in accordance with his name, in accordance with his will, in accordance with his purpose, and he is guaranteed to answer that prayer because it's his will in the first place. He continues, verse 15, and this is our verse for the day. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. In this middle of chapter 14, he transitions from this believe, 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 believe to our responses to love. He's already talked about loving one another back in chapter 13, but now he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And then he goes on to say, and then I'm going to ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor, another of the same kind. Just like Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes and teaches us. In fact, if you go look farther in chapter 14, verse 26, the counselor, the Holy Spirit, the Father will send him in my name. He will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have told you. Again, we've already heard that testimony from Karen. She's in the midst of trying to reach this hurting family, trying to demonstrate compassion. And what did she say? The Holy Spirit brought Scripture to my mind and showed me how to use it. This chapter is chock-a-block full of promises. It starts out, I'm going away and I'm going to prepare a place for you, and then I'm going to come and take you to myself. Wow. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I'm going to ask the Father, he's going to send you a counselor, he's going to live with you. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? Let's look at verse 20. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. Jesus is inviting us into a relationship with him that in the same way that he and the Father are one, and he's in the Father and the Father's in him, now he introduces the fact that I'm in you and you're in me. How is that possible? That is what God has promised. That is what God has designed. That is God's purpose and plan in creation, is to have a people for himself. And he invites you to be part of that. So there's this promise, multitude of promises. Jesus said, if you ask, I'll do it. I'll ask the Father, he'll do it. He'll send the Spirit, he'll do it. But we're in the middle of that. Verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commands. You're going to do it. It's not, well, if you love me, you'd keep my commands. He's not snotty about it. He's not trying to guilt us into anything. He's saying, if we are in relationship with him, if we're in his name, if we're pursuing his purposes, if we love him, if we put him first and foremost, just last week, I think it was, Pastor Eric said, you know, God is not a priority, 2 weeks ago. God is not a priority. He's everything. If you love God in that way, then you're going to follow his commands. Not that you don't have a choice not to, but why would you? You're going to do what God has called you to do. If you love me, you'll keep my commands. The promise, he's in us, we're in him, the Spirit lives in us, he teaches us all things, he reminds us of all things that Jesus has taught. Chapter 14 is just chock-a-block full. Believe and love. Now, our author, the Gospel of John, is the Apostle John, we expect anyway, and he also wrote a few letters later on in his ministry, and I want to end with this. In 1 John chapter 5, you'll listen for these same words, believe and love. 1 John 5, 1 to 5, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Messiah has been born of God, and everyone who loves the parent loves the child, loves his child. This is how we know that we love God's children, when we love God and obey his commands. For this is what love for God is, to keep his commands. Now his commands are not a burden. He changes us. He transforms us. The Spirit lives within us and lives out through us so that we are so different that we love him and we obey his commands. They're not burdensome. If you're working really, really hard to be the man that, or the woman that God wants you to be, you're doing it wrong. Not that you shouldn't want it with that, but you're trying to pursue, you're trying to do, and he says, love me. If we love him, if we put him first, if that is our criteria, if that is our effort, is to what will please God, what will bring him glory, how do I demonstrate my love for him? If you love him, you will keep his commands. His commands are not burdensome. They are not a burden, because whatever has been born of God conquers the world. This is the victory that has conquered the world, our faith. Back to belief. And who is the one who conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? John chapter 14, it's about two-thirds of the way through the gospel. Halfway through this chapter, it says, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. We'll be changed. That's what we're invited into. That's what the folks who are being baptized today have come to understand, that Jesus has come from heaven. He is God. We started in John 1 a year and a half ago. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, that's Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. This is the Jesus that we celebrate, the Jesus that we worship, the Jesus that we serve, the Jesus that we love. Let's not miss it. These folks have come to the point where they understand, listen, I can't do it on my own. I know I have a broken relationship with the Creator God because I don't live the way I know He wants me to. It's not about following rules. It's about pleasing the one who created you. Do you love God? Then you'll keep His commands. These folks have said, I love God. I want to keep His commands. I want to love Him more. I want to be obedient to what He shows me to do. If I love Him, I'm going to do His commands. I'm going to keep His commands. And one of those is to be baptized. As a demonstration, we're buried with Christ in baptism and raised to walk in a new life of love for Him, a new life of obedience, of following Him. And I'm telling you, it's a life of joy and hope and promise. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You that You have done all these things for us, that this is just one part of Your word where You've revealed Yourself, You've revealed Your purpose and Your plan, and You've called us to love and serve You, to obey You, not because we're supposed to follow all the rules, but because we love You so much, because You've done so much for us, and You created us for this purpose. May every heart here be drawn closer to You today, because we understand that it's not rules, it's not regulations, it's not earning our way to anything, but it is Your gift in Jesus Christ that we might be redeemed, forgiven, restored, that we might be Your children. And it's in the precious name of Jesus we pray, in line with Your will for us. Amen.
This is Richard Denver, and he's been with us now for a couple weeks, and he came in just saying, it's time for me to make a difference in my life, a change. It's time for me to take seriously this following Jesus. Tell me about baptism. Well, that's pretty much the first thing you said to me, right? One of the very first things he said to me as he walked in the door was, tell me about baptism. What does that mean? And how do I go about this? And so we had a fantastic discussion about a week or so ago going through that and really just cementing in place what it is that he has believed in his heart. Richard, do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I do.
Do you believe in Him as the only way to salvation?
Yes.
Amen. Are you ready for this baptism?
Yes, sir.
Amen. All right, let's turn this way. Richard, by your confession with me before and here in front of the body of Christ, that Jesus Christ is your Lord, it is my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You are baptized with Him in Christ. Brought up in newness of life. Good? All right, amen. Amen. You gonna come stand over here? He's got family here that is witnessing this. Praise the Lord that God has His plan at work in all of us. Come on down. This is Paul Myers. We saw him here with two little guys just a short time ago. And this father who has dedicated himself to the cause of Christ on behalf of his kids is now also, and first and foremost, dedicating himself to Christ through walking in this baptism. So he has something to share with you as far as his testimony.
I'll try not to take too long, and I'll try not to cry, but no promises. So. All right, well, as Eric said, I'm Paul. Thank you so much for welcoming us to this church. We've been here about a year now. Megan actually grew up in this church, so many of you guys know her. I probably shouldn't have decided to speak.
That's okay. No, you should have. That's good.
But yeah, I was saved at a young age and grew up in a Christian home surrounded by biblical principles. I grew up attending church, reading my Bible, having daily devotions with the Lord. Spending time in His Word was something that my parents instilled in me from a young age. And I can recall committing my life to Christ, I think once when I was about 4, and then again when I was about 6. And In retrospect, I probably prayed the prayer many times over those early years, but Christ has since taken me and grown me and taught me that, you know, it's not, praying a prayer isn't enough to get you into heaven. It is Christ alone who saves, and it is the faith that he gifts to us, the tool that he uses to help us to receive that salvation. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." So even so, that time, I still believe that at a young age, around 6 years old or so, is really when my faith in Christ took root, and it's from there that I look to, you know, where my relationship with him began. But still, growing up as a Christian, it was easy to walk the walk, read my Bible, and my faith in Christ was genuine. But I'd never really had anything that shook it up. I was in a Christian home, very comfortable. And then when I was around 16 to 17, I really started to struggle with assurance of salvation. It was something that I'd never really dealt with before, but it's something that sort of came up in my life, and it was about a year of really dealing and struggling with that, and it was something that God used to deepen my faith in him and to turn me more and more to his word and cause me to go deeper into it and to realize in the midst of that doubt and searching, I had no choice but to cast myself at the feet of the Savior. And it was in that time that God pulled me out of a dark place. He was my light. He had been from a young age, but really in that time, he really grew me and refined my faith and brought me over and over again to the fact that his work on the cross was my only means of salvation and assurance in him. So as I've continued to walk in my faith in Christ, a walk that began when I was a child, I have faced many battles, many struggles, many moments of failure, temptation, moments of forgiveness, grace, pure joy, and a continued deepening of my faith and relationship in Christ. So I just want to read 2 Timothy 1:12 says, "I know whom I have believed in and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day." So if God has shown me anything in my 20 years walking with him, it is that I am weak and that he is very strong, unlike me who's crying like a baby now. So over and over again, he has shown me my need to let go and trust him. To turn to him, trust him with everything fully, to let go of my feelings, and to trust his word. In scripture, we find the path to salvation very narrow, yet vitally simple and sweet. There is nothing we could ever do to earn forgiveness. And then Romans 10:9 says, "Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Two more little sentences, I promise. So today I'm getting baptized as an act of obedience to Christ and his command to be baptized. So this is a picture of what Christ has done for me and for many of us here, and it is a public announcement of my faith in him. Jesus has saved my soul, and to him I am eternally grateful. And I'll end with the words of John Newton, a great hymn writer of the past, who said, "I am a great sinner, and Christ is a great Savior."
It's good and it's worthy. I think we would agree that that was a worthy statement to be made, right?
That you've done well. And don't worry about the emotion. We are people of emotion. That's okay. Yes. By your proclamation of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it is my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You've been buried with him
in baptism, brought up
in newness of life.
You good?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you. Yeah.
Each one of these is special to me. We have spent different lengths of time together. Paul, I've spent some time with over the past months. This guy I've spent a little bit of time with. This is my mini-me, David, and he's coming today to seriously consider. He's seriously considered for quite a length of time whether this is his time, whether this is the opportunity for him to proclaim himself as a believer. And is that what you want to do here today?
Yes.
Why do you want to be baptized?
Because I could be
saved. I don't know. Just, oh, not saved. Sorry. It's a bad way of saying it. But to show people that I am a Christian.
Say it one more time. It's okay. To show people that I am a Christian. That's what he said. And we know that you have made this proclamation in your heart. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Do you trust him to be your only salvation?
Yes.
Are you ready to walk with him in faith?
Yes.
Amen.
David, my boy, it is my privilege to baptize you. Because of your faithful proclamation, your faithful life in Christ, and your declaration through many, many different opportunities and missional purposes in your life, it is my privilege to baptize you as your father and as your pastor in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You are baptized with him and brought back to newness of life.
You're not too cool, okay?
You good? All right. This is a new face for you. This man's name is Igor. What is your last name? I'm not sure I could ever say it.
My last name is Monasterski.
Monasterski. All right. And Igor came to us through one of our partnering churches in the Philippines. Perhaps if you've been online, you've noticed that there's been a Grace Church, Grace Baptist Church.
Correct.
In the Philippines, has been with us for about a year or more. Pastor Luciano and I have communicated numerous times over that year. I have taught some classes there, and in the process, this gentleman came onto the scene. Can you tell us how you came to Jesus?
I came to Jesus, first of all, because I searched for Jesus practically, inconsistently, but all my life. And as Pastor Scott just mentioned, it is never too late to get Jesus inside of your heart and to live under his will. Thank you very much for opportunity to be baptized in so famous Amherst Church.
Amen. You don't have to get so close. It's just step back.
Sorry.
That's okay.
So Igor came to us just this past week. We have been we have been talking via Zoom and such over the last weeks, but we knew his time to be with us was going to be coming soon. It just happened to match up completely with our celebration Sunday. And so he's begun discipleship with my father, Jack Napoli, and he's just eager. He comes, I don't think he stepped off the plane, and he's like, tell me more about Jesus. Teach me more. Tell me more. I want to know what I'm following. And he is intense in his desire to know Jesus better and to walk with him. And so we are just really celebrating the work that he has been doing in your life, really since April, right?
I would like to become one of the favorite Jesus servants.
Amen. Amen. And he really puts his heart towards the work. He says, you know, I want to learn this practically, not just something that I can say or I believe, but I want to live this out practically. Show me how to be on mission. Show me how to evangelize. Tell me how I can be in people's lives. And so there's a huge story here. Igor is actually an American citizen, long, long time, 30-something years, but has been repatriated just this past couple weeks. And so larger story than what we're able to share here in the pool, but God is at work, would you say?
Absolutely.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Only him.
Amen. So Igor, put your hand here. There you go. by your profession of faith, that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior.
Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior till the rest of my days.
Amen. I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You are buried with him in baptism and brought up in newness of life. Yep. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Good. Yes, you can head out that way. We know that his brothers and sisters, Pastor Luciano, are watching us online as well. They're very intrigued and interested in his progress and process as a disciple in Jesus Christ. And so they sent him to us so that we may care for him and his spiritual needs. So I just ask that you would be praying for these four men, that as they have declared Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, as they desired and strive to know Christ in all their ways, I think you can see the sincerity of their hearts, each one of them. I think you can hear that in their testimony. It is not normal, church, for us to have three adult men walk through baptism on a single day. That is a special work that God has been doing. And we give thanks and honor and glory to our God because he is transforming lives. And through these men, he's going to be transforming a world around us. Amen. Would you stand with me and let's pray for these guys? Our God, our King, our Lord, you are great. We started the service saying that you are great. We've sung it throughout. And we say it again, you are great. Your cross is immeasurable in its effect upon our lives and upon our world. The joy that you give to your people is beyond words. The ministry and the work that you are doing, Lord God, we thank you. We thank you that you are at work among us, that you are alive and moving. Work some more, we pray. Do it again. Shake us, Lord God. Cause us to desire more and more of you. Let it change our church. Let it change our families. Let it change our lives. Let it change Willow Ridge and Sheridan Parkside. Oh God, we rely wholly and fully upon you. And we pray, Lord God, that as salvation knocks on the hearts of those in this place, Lord God, who have not received you today, I pray, Lord God, that the Spirit of God would awaken them, open their eyes, Lord God, to say yes. I challenge us, Lord God, for the great joy that lies before us. Let us say yes to you in all of our ways, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.